It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue, home to the country's first cannabis cafe. Now it's time for The Buzz.
The Buzz.
All right, welcome to The Buzz.
What's up, Sean Tackey,
and I've got my co-host Brandon Emmett here with me. And today we have a special guest in the studio. We've got Kyle Doherty.
What's up, Kyle?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm glad to be here, and hopefully we can discuss cannabis and all things greater. What do we got?
We will.
We're going to discuss all that. But we're actually here kind of to discuss a lot about you, man. We're like, you know, we know you came from Arizona, and, you know, our time with you has only been, you know, a few years now, but kind of wanted to get a gist of, you know, what your position is on weed, how you came about to, you know, consuming cannabis. We basically all went through our stories about how Emmett grew up on a farm.
And right.
I dabbled in it in high school, kind of a thing, but never to an extreme level. But, you know, what's your introduction to cannabis, man?
Yeah, so I grew up in southern Arizona, and it was a it was an interesting introduction to me and, I guess, my passion for marijuana. I came from a family that pretty much looked down and discriminated kind of against some of us family members that were involved with cannabis or seemed to be perceived to be involved with any of it. It was a different introduction for me. You know, my father was a businessman, a well-respected businessman. His kind of fear was always that, like, you know, one of his children's illicit activities would interfere with his business license, and that whole thing. So, it was definitely kind of one of those things where I was introduced, but I always shied away from it because I, you know, had a greater fear that I was going to end up in jail or rehab. I had a couple brothers actually go to rehab for marijuana.
I went to rehab for marijuana.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it was total BS.
Sounds like it would be.
Yeah. It was total crap. You know, they're like, okay, I'm in there with all these people who are in rehab for alcohol or heroin or whatever, which is, you know, it's significant, and I'm in there for marijuana, and they're like, tell me one person that you know that is successful that uses cannabis. I said, oh, my uncle's a college professor, smokes every day. Like, okay, the teacher pulled me to the side.
And I was like,
yeah, you can't say
answer.
That. Wrong answer. And I was like, all right. She's like, you just fill out all the paperwork and we'll get kick you out of rehab. Out. Yeah. So Kyle, so tell me about this. So your experience, you know, coming up in this conservative family so far as cannabis is concerned, how did your experiences shape you into the master extractor that you are today?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that was a large part of the contributing factor that went into me becoming so, I guess, immensely involved in the industry. But before that, ultimately, my passion for the plant. You know, I had different.
What the heck? Say something again. Try hitting the mic.
Dip, dip,
there we
dip.
Go. Okay.
Different, different family members that
technical difficulties.
Right. Yeah, right. I had a couple different family members, you know, that always looked down on it. And again, you know, coming from that background, it was difficult, but at the same time, it would kind of gave me a renewed passion because it was something that I knew that was important to the community, something that I knew that was medicinally, you know, viable to the community. I have a brother with epilepsy. I have plenty of friends whose parents have MS and other conditions. And so that was kind of my first, introduction to it, was just the fact that, hey, there's people out here that could probably use this stuff. They're villainizing this, this product for means of ultimately suppressing its
medicinal value.
Exactly, right. So It was frustrating. I lost my dad to cancer at when I was 18 years old as a senior in high school, and that kind of was one of those things that played into my renewed passion for it. I've seen
there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that states that cannabis can at least be a medicine for the symptoms
Correct.
Of cancer. Whether Correct. It cures cancer or not is debatable, but I don't think it's debatable that cannabis is one of the best medicines for treating all of the maladies that come along with cancer.
Correct. And originally, you know, the big support for cannabis as a medication came from Northern California. And, you know, there was a large a gay movement there, and there was this right in the pinnacle and peak of the spread of AIDS. So a lot of these medications that were prescribed afterwards to kind of treat and help with that condition or that diagnosis of AIDS, cannabis was one of the ones that was able to let them eat again and let them kind of have a little bit of peace. With some of these medications, you know, you're prescribed one just so you can be prescribed another and another, all for essentially the treatment of side effects for the previous medication. And I think that was one of the cool things initially, you know, that they were able to implement was like, hey, you know, this medication for our AIDS patients is causing them to not be able to eat or to have a proper and happy standard of life. And then they were able to, you know, prescribe that. And that's kind of where that movement moved out from. However, as we've seen, you know, cancer patients are one of those directly impacted by the effects of chemotherapy and the other therapeutics prescribed after the diagnosis. And so, it was hard for me to, I guess, accept the fact that, look, there's this potential treatment for my father and for my grandfather who also passed and my aunt who also passed from cancer. And they had no access to it just because of the political obstacles and hurdles that might lie in their way when really ultimately they're looking for some treatment and hopefully some relief on some level.
That's great. Yeah, so for anyone who's just tuning in, we are on 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and streaming on KFAR.com.
KFARradio.com.
KFARradio.com.
You're listening to, yeah, The Buzz.
The Buzz. And we have Kyle, who is Good Titrations. Kyle
is the lab dude.
The quote unquote, he calls the lab dude, our master extractor. So, Kyle, tell us about the first time that you ever used cannabis.
Yeah, so basically I was incentivized for my parents to never do drugs or alcohol. I made it
same way, don't worry.
Yep, you know, a good portion of my way through high school without ever indulging. And admittedly, you know, I had a few drinks allegedly one night and decided, hey, I'm going to try this.
So it was a bong? It was a joint? What was it?
Yeah,
you inject it into your arm
a pipe made out of a pen. Excuse me,
a nice. Pipe made out of a pen. Okay,
yeah. A Bic Chillum.
Nice. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's how we do it. I mean, or an apple. A lot of times. Again, I'm I guess a little bit older, maybe in contrast to some of the other consumers and stuff. So yeah, that's how we did it. You had to have. You know, paraphernalia that was perishable, we'll say, can just disappear relatively easily.
Because it was very illegal in Arizona at the time,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we're talking, you know, possession of paraphernalia was a felony until recently. Possession of any amount of marijuana was also a felony.
And it turns out you suffered the drug war. Right?
You
were incarcerated. Tell us a little bit about how, you know, so you were a cannabis consumer, you knew it had medicinal benefits, you became part of the underground industry, And then ultimately you got caught up in this unjust war against cannabis. And you said you served some time, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
A few times through my adolescence, I was arrested. They do have a, I'm trying to think of the word they use for it. But they basically allow you to do some community service, and they'll lessen the charge for possession or a consumption or whatever it may be. But ultimately, yeah, when I grew up, I had a run-in again with the law. It was a small closet grow, something here that would be deemed to be, you know, more than legal, excuse me. So
you had like 5, 10, 24 plants, like,
yeah, and you know, probably
100 plants,
five, I think, in flowering stage.
You had five plants. And what was your experience with that whole?
Man, it was disheartening.
And we're trying to expose the wrongs of demonizing cannabis here. Yeah, so it says you had five plants,
right?
Cops came to your house. Like, what was it like?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, my brother again, who I have mentioned earlier, is epileptic. So they had recently gone medicinally legal. So my goal was to, like, hey, I'm going to get a small little grow in this closet through, and then hopefully become a caregiver for my brother at that time. That was it. It was short lived. I didn't finish the grow. And then I learned rather quickly the repercussions of, trying to grow any marijuana at all in a illegal state.
So you're trying to grow medicine for your brother who's an epileptic. And because unjust laws,
you got rolled.
You became a criminal when you're really just trying to be a provider for your family,
right? And that was ultimately kind of the last straw. At that point, I realized, look, I don't really want much more to do with the state or its laws. I wanted to try to find, somewhere out of the state that potentially could offer, the same benefits for something that my previous state had deemed to be, totally illegal. So,
and so that so then you moved here?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, so my wife is active duty military, and
which, big shout out to the military.
Yep, absolutely.
Big supporter. Big military.
Yeah, yeah,
family.
And definitely with as far as veterans' access to marijuana and medicine, it again is just something that motivated me even more after meeting plenty of people that needed it for the medicinal value, whether it be, cancer or MS or any of these other conditions that are, I'll say, easily treated, but are more or less, put at bay through the use of cannabis. I was working in the construction industry down there, and I decided, hey, we got stationed in Alaska. They're legal. This is my chance to really, prove that I could make a career out of things that my teachers, and many others, I guess, have ultimately just told me was destroying my life.
Right, you're talking to the exact example of the same thing. End up becoming a CPA and stuff, but then I'm like, oh, wait, no, you can go start a business doing this. So we're in the same boat, man. But actually, this is actually a good spot for us to take a quick commercial break, and we'll get back into how you dove into the industry in Alaska. So stick around. You're listening to KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
More of the buzz will continue right after this.
Since legalization, Good Titrations has been producing the finest products that you now enjoy legally, with products throughout the state of Alaska. Well, now Good Titrations has their own retail store right here in Fairbanks at 506 Merhar Avenue, just off the Johansson, a full cannabis retail shop, including products in flower, edible, and concentrate form, plus accessories and an impressive group of bud tenders that can help match the right product just for you. And coming soon, Fairbanks' first cannabis cafe, courtesy of Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue, online at Good Titrations. GoodTitrations.com. License number 10827.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
This message is brought to you by Good Titration.
License number 20827.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Now, back to the Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations.
All right, welcome back to the Buzz. You're in studio with Sean Tacky, your host and co-host Brandon Emmett.
Yo, yo.
And our wonderful guest What's that up? We have, Kyle the Lab Dude.
Yeah, Kyle Dohery. Yeah, so master extractor for Good Titrations. So Kyle has taken our business from just making vape pens and some dabs to
making some amazing dabs.
Making, yeah, CRC products, making, you know, diamonds with sauce, all stuff. So we compete with other businesses on all levels. A lot of it has to do with Kyle in the lab and his expertise and being able to not just make wax and shatter and vape pens, but also being able to make a lot of the higher level CRC products, diamonds with sauce, that sort of thing, that some of these companies focus their whole business around. And so we're talking with Kyle about his experience with cannabis, having come from a family that may have not been so accepting of the plant, but then having a brother with epilepsy, having realized that it's a fantastic medicine, having put his butt on the line in Arizona, having ultimately getting in trouble for a substance that has been accepted here for a long time. And now Kyle coming full circle and not just creating medicine, but also being able to make a career out of it. So Kyle, tell us a little bit about how you got into cannabis extraction and how you turned that into a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, so you know, originally we had water hash, ice water hash, you know,
bubble hash, yeah.
right. We got all those different terms for it. And it's great stuff, but somewhere along the line, I had some friends who were pretty well connected actually to the North California area, Northern California area, where they had
the Emerald Triangle,
Harborside, I think. Yes, exactly. And they started developing some different techniques for you know, hydrocarbon extraction. And
what is hydrocarbon extraction again?
So yeah, you're using a butane, propane, isobutane, pentane. Those are all technically hydrocarbons. You know, but we like the lighter ones as far as their ease of use.
They can boil off. They don't stick in the product, right?
Right, exactly. So when you're utilizing one of these, they're exceptional for the extraction capabilities because they do have a very low boiling point. So as long as you can get that solvent up to room temperature or, you know, somewhere above that, you're going to have evaporation or distillation technically of, you know, of that hydrocarbon out of the cannabis latent solution. I kind of had my first introduction to it through a friend. He had a friend, again, who had a friend. At this time, everything was, you know.
Friend of a friend. You got it, because people got to be cool, right?
Right, yeah, you know, I mean, you're not
trying to talk to the cops.
You don't want to let anyone know kind of what's going on. And, you know, at this point, it was in the inception of the legal market in California. We had a couple of tricks and tips passed down from a couple head extractors there at Harborside, which I believe, you know, is I forget his name, but you know, the guy with the French braids or whatever, the French braid, I forget.
The French braid guy.
Yeah, you know. And so I just had some information passed down to me, and then I was like, hey, look, this is something I'm interested in trying. And from there, I basically boiled down to, for lack of a better, you know, pun, me just going into it full head, because there was plenty of product, right, regardless of what market, quote, you're in, if it's bud or if it's trim or keef even, which is what I started extracting initially. There was some dealers that, you know, just we're sitting on tons of keef, and they didn't have any way to process it.
Yeah,
so it was
back in the day, it was crazy. So, you know, for a lot of our listeners, you know, they know our backgrounds, but for people who are just tuning in, when the extraction industry started, it was out of a need because you could only make so many brownies out of your trim.
Right, totally.
Right. And I remember when I was a compost turner, and I got a shot at trimming, and I actually didn't like it, which shout out to all the trimmers in the industry. It's a really hard job. I don't think they get enough credit because I hated it.
And, amen.
And like, I got the opportunity to trim, and I wanted to go back to just the dirt turning farming part. But this trim would pile up.
Right.
And you can only make so much RSO. You can only, which is a Rick Simpson oil, aka ethanol extracted.
Yeah, just oil, super crude, you know? Oil. I mean, yeah. You know, it's definitely great so for topicals or edibles.
Yeah, right? You can only make so many brownies. And then the rest of the stuff, which has a lot of THC in it, the same amount of THC as the bud, might not be great for smoking in a joint or your bowl. If you've got access to keef, you've got access to great flour, a lot of this stuff was going in the trash. And it was weird to see these guys who were composting hundreds of kgs of trim.
Right.
And so I think that's right, where the extraction industry, it kind of came out of a need.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a necessity. And that's always been one of the biggest questions. You know, how do we handle this excess amount of biomass that's basically going to go to waste, whether it be compost or, you know, simply, you know, just thrown in the trash. And it, like you said, out of necessity became, grew an industry that was quite profitable and that was, very accessible to many because, again, everyone kind of knew someone or knows someone that has, hey, you know, I got some, you know, some byproduct. And so regardless of whether you were turning that into crude oil to be sent to an edible or if you were kind of getting some, your hands on some fresher product that might be, a little bit better for some hard concentrates as far as shatter or any one of those other smokable products, it was definitely something, too, that the consumer seemed to want. So, you know, in the past we had our bubble hash, our, ice water hash, but, this hydrocarbon extraction brought so many more options to the table. It brought a few more. It allowed you to access maybe some older material, but still bring out the better side of it. And then ultimately, yeah, you know, with some of these new practices and techniques, really let some product shine, even if it was a dry cure product.
So seeing that there was this need and these processes that are on the table, what were some of your first extractions when you really started to dive into cannabis extraction? Like what sort of products did you make? What were you trying to bring to the table?
So yeah, when I first started, it was, if it didn't shatter, it didn't matter. That was pretty much straight up. That was the slogan, you know? And now we're learning, you know, so much more as far as terpene and cannabinoid retention through extracting fresh material versus older cured material. And now it's actually happened to kind of flip-flop a little bit, Emmett. It's gone from, you know, it going, what you wanting to source that that material that will just make a good clean slab of shatter to something that's fresh. That's something that has a higher level of terpenes and as well as that THCA. And when you extract that, you know, you tend to get some more of those sugars or through, you know, a little bit more processing, or if it's fresh frozen, you can get that diamond-like material, which is ultimately every extractor's dream as far as, inputs go.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Kyle. So when we first started extracting this stuff, and we told the funny story about how Good Titrations got into extraction with a failed experiment, and that we ultimately determined that, oh, wow, this is actually a viable product. We were just trying to make shatter. And like you said, if it doesn't shatter, it doesn't matter. And what people used to say, oh, it buttered up, or it, you know, it turned, you know,
nucleated.
It nucleated or whatever.
Yeah, I was always forced to sell that product, you know, at a much lower cost, because regardless, it wasn't what the consumer wanted, which exactly ultimately drives, you know, every business.
Yeah, because people wanted to put, you know, their shatter on Instagram or whatever. And so when we first started, we were just trying to get shatter, and we were struggling. Sometimes stuff would make shatter, and then it wouldn't. But then we realized that there are a ton of other products out there
that could be made. Absolutely. And so this actually brings us to what is going to be the end of our show for this week. But stick around. We got a second part to talk to Kyle more about his experiences with this. But guys, stick around. You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, streaming live at KFARradio.com. And you can actually catch all of our old episodes if you go to the KFARradio.com archive section. Stick around for Dr. Looper with Health Talk after this.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Good Titrations. To listen to this episode or any past programs, simply go to the website and search the archives page. The Buzz has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.